Shalom. Welcome to another episode of Inspiration from Zion. I'm Jonathan Feldstein, and I have the privilege of being your host, coming to you from the Judean Mountains here in Israel. I like to refer to it as the original Bible Belt. Inspiration from Zion is a program of the Genesis 123 Foundation, whose mission is to build bridges between Jews and Christians with Israel in ways that are new, unique, and meaningful. I pray that you will find this all of those. Through this program, we're excited to connect you to people and stories in and relating to Israel to give you a window to look through, experiencing aspects of life here that you might not otherwise know about. We want this to be interactive, so please be in touch with us at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com and send along any questions and any comments about any topic, anytime. Or you can reach us at genesis123.co or follow and like Inspiration from Zion on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Stay tuned until the end, where we're also going to share an exciting opportunity, and please feel free to share this with others who will also find it of interest. Today, I want to share a story with you and to expand that story to make it even more compelling. It's not just Jonathan's story. I've invited three friends, three guests to join to expand on something, that an experience that we all shared last week, this past week. It's this week, actually. And I want to say that just as I was doing the intro, talking about how we at Genesis 123 Foundation, 123 Foundation do things that are new, unique, and meaningful, suddenly, more than any time that I can remember in doing now nearly 200 episodes of these podcasts, those words struck me because what we did was something new, unique, and meaningful. New, not for our friend Elliot Auerbacher, who I'm going to introduce in a moment, but new for the rest of us and meaningful for hundreds of people who participated virtually. We were privileged on the weekend of July 4th, Sunday the 6th of July specifically, to make a barbecue for pilots and crew at the Palmachim Air Force Base here in Israel. Now, because it's an Air Force base, because it just was a few weeks after the completion of the operation against Iran, where many of these people were directly involved, we weren't allowed to bring our phones on. We weren't on base. We weren't allowed to take pictures, no recording of it at all. But that, and maybe that's all the more reason why the shared comments from everybody here is even so much more significant, because we want to paint that picture. Let me introduce alphabetically who's here with us, and then we're going to jump in and tell the story and how so many people who follow us and people who follow us who should participate did in fact participate. Elliot Auerbacher is a friend who was introduced through my other good friend who is here, Brian Glick. Elliot and his family made Aliyah. They moved to Israel in 2015, and he's the founder of Grilling for Israel. We partnered before, but it's been a while, too long, and was very grateful that he posted something 2 weeks ago, 2.5 weeks ago. Hey, who wants to make a barbecue for pilots on the who just came back from, you didn't say it this way, but that's how I read it, blowing up things in Iran. So we jumped in, and thank God to the donors, to Genesis 123 Foundation, who made it possible for us to say yes and join you and Elliot. I'm really thrilled. It's long overdue, and I'm really thrilled that we did that, and I'm really thrilled that you're here today as well. Brian Glick is a friend. We're related by marriage. His wife and my third daughter are named for my great-grandmother, and I don't know how many cousins removed that makes us, so we're friends, we're related, and Brian is also a trusted advisor, and for that reason is a member of the advisory board of the Genesis 123 Foundation. And Rolene Marks, funny, also a good friend, but we only met in person for the first time as we were going into the Air Force Base last week. Rolene is a journalist, a frequent commentator on local Israeli and international media, always with great insight. And Rolene's the only one who I've had among the guests here who I've had on Inspiration from Zion multiple times. And I have to tell you, every single time that you're on, Rolene, I learned so much and I'm so motivated and so inspired. So it was really on that additional level, a pleasure to have you be along, that we could finally meet in person, but also to have you as an extra amazing set of eyes and ears experiencing what we did. So I want to unpack that. First of all, to the three of you, welcome. Welcome back to Inspiration by Zion. I want to start off, I don't know, Rolene, you're not an American, but you know historically, and Brian and Elliot, you are, and we're old enough to certainly remember it. July 4th, of course, holiday weekend. What do people in America do? Make barbecues, right? That's a normal thing. But what's also so significant from July 4th, if we wind back 49 years this year, 49 years ago was Israel's miraculous operation in Entebbe called Operation Yonatan, now in memory of Jonathan Netanyahu, who was the older brother of our current prime minister and who led the operation, was killed in Entebbe, but where hundreds of Israeli and Jewish hostages were taken by Palestinian terrorists, flown to the capital of Uganda, and Israel led what was then a remarkable, unprecedented, and unimaginable rescue through air. And if someone please reminds me, I want to come back to the Christian connection to that as we talk about the Christian support for the barbecue that we just did. But I looked at that and being on the Air Force base and seeing these SWAG pilots and crew walk up in with their uniforms on, thinking, my gosh, if I close my eyes from today and I imagine 49 years ago, it's the same. Well, actually, with one of the people we met, it could have been the same person. He was kind of old, and it was really fascinating to see him. So it was significant on every level. Elliot, let me start with you. For you, when I say that we Genesis 1-3, we do things that are new, unique, and meaningful. Nothing I think that we did on July 6th was new for you. Wasn't particularly unique, except for the fact that we couldn't bring in our phones and take pictures. And I'm sure it was no less meaningful. But you are the founder of Grilling for Israel. And I can't remember when it was, but it's a few years ago when we partnered together on our first barbecue for soldiers. It was on Independence Day, if I remember correctly. Ironically, I mentioned July 4th, Independence Day we observe here. How did you come up with this project, and how did you get involved, and how has it grown so much that so you're now like every week doing multiple barbecues all around the country?
It started back in 2019. It was born out of the fact that we had somebody in our synagogue who had a son who was serving, who was calling up to his mom every night and crying that he was going to bed hungry. And it just didn't sit well with us that there should be soldiers out there protecting us and serving the nation, that we're not, you know, being fed properly. And, you know, the soldiers between the ages of 18 and 21, the Sadir soldiers, the ones who are doing their mandatory army service, 18 to 20-year-olds, you know, 21-year-olds, they eat. Yeah. They eat all the time. They just, you know, that's what that age of, you know, people do. And especially when they're exerting the type of energy that they are, training and everything else, they're hungry. And it didn't sit well with us. I, you know, grabbed a bunch of friends together. We went out and bought some grills and charcoal and steaks and burgers and salads and drinks. And we went down to and served our first barbecue was 18 soldiers at an Iron Dome unit near Netivot.
Netivot is in southern Israel, a little bit to the east of Gaza.
Yeah, it used to be it's pretty close to Gaza.
Yeah,
and that's how we started, and from there it grew very slowly at the beginning. We were really doing it at the beginning because it was a fun thing for us to do, to hang with the Chayalim and to give them, you know, some fun. And to give them, you know, just a nice meal. And we had then ended up doing a group of barbecues for the Nahal Haredi for the soldiers who are in the news all the time for the amount of people in their communities that don't enlist to the army.
Right, we're talking about the ultra-Orthodox, is Haredi,
The
ultra-Orthodox.
And we ended up doing 5 barbecues for them over the course of about 6 months. And after we had completed the 5th barbecue, the rabbi who set us up to do those events called me up very early on a Sunday morning, and he said he needed a favor. And I said, Rabbi, if I can do a favor for you, it's my pleasure. And he said, unfortunately, one of the boys in the unit put a bullet into his own head on Friday night. And the unit was having trouble functioning and moving forward. And could we possibly come and make a barbecue for them to raise their morale and get them going?
Wow.
And as they say in Israel, Nafal lanu ha'asimon, like the lights went on for us. We had no idea that we were able to raise the morale of the unit by making them a barbecue. And from then on, we decided that we were going to try to make at least one barbecue a week. So from October, from 2019 until October the 6th, we had already done 126 events, serving about 11,000 soldiers. And
repeat those numbers again.
126 events, 11,000 meals.
Remarkable.
And then on late night, Saturday night on October the 7th, my phone started ringing from all the logistics officers that we had already taken care of. And they were asking for everything. I mean, it was a little bit of an upheaval when they brought up 300 some odd thousand
reservists
all at the same time.
But let me just interrupt for people who are following. We as Israelis speak openly about October 7th, but I think that the further we get from the October 7th of 21 months ago, we just need to clarify for people that we're talking about the day that Hamas attacked and committed the massacre. So, and you're right, that was a great additional point. There are now 300,000 more people who have been called up, and the army has no infrastructure for that. So, yeah, please continue.
And so the phone started ringing off the hook on Saturday night, all day on Sunday. You know, what could we provide them with? They needed everything from mattresses and socks and underwear and coffee and batteries and phone chargers and lights for the helmets and all types of different equipment. And we just went into go mode. And we immediately started to provide whatever we could. Because we had been out there already for 4+ years, people knew of us, and I guess the word spread nicely, and donations started coming in on a regular basis. And after a couple of weeks of doing everything that we could, including food, I mean, our sukkah was still up, and we had probably 70, 80, 90 people a day were coming to our home and making up to 5 or 6,000 sandwiches a day. We had a dozen grills that were going.
Wow.
Our neighbors were getting phone calls. People saw the smoke all day long. They thought, God forbid, that somebody's house was on fire. But we were delivering thousands and thousands of meals to soldiers throughout the country. We probably had over 40 drivers that were just picking up food and delivering it.
All voluntary.
And we have
your friends, your neighbors.
And we have over 1,000 volunteers who live in Israel. We've also had more than 8,500 volunteers from around the world who've come to one event to feed the soldiers.
Amazing. One more point before I move on to Brian and Rolene. You mentioned, which I initially thought of, and then you mentioned after the first barbecue, the 5 that you did for the Nahal Haredi units, the ultra-Orthodox units, and those are set up here in Israel specifically to provide a religiously appropriate environment for people who are coming from the ultra-Orthodox. But with a religiously appropriate environment also requires a special standard of kosher food. And so obviously that's the case, that you're providing that highest standard. But as is normal here in Israel, if people bring food to an IDF base, or soldiers, or I've driven around here. I make sometimes in the winter a huge pot of soup and just drive around the Judean mountains and ladle out hot soup to people in the middle of the day. People ask, well, is it kosher? How have you, has that been an issue? How have you dealt with that?
It's never been an issue because I keep kosher myself. So I keep a, you know, a high level of kosher in my own house. And, I've always wanted to, when I go to an army base, I never want to have a single soldier who will not be able to eat the food because of kashrut reasons. So we make sure to bring the level that the army uses, and then maybe a little bit more stringent than that when we go to the ultra orthodox to make sure that everybody is comfortable with what they're getting.
And I'll add, not only I don't remember it from the first time that we did the barbecue together, but you probably did, but certainly this time. And I noticed that it made a difference. You also provide vegetarian food for people who don't want to eat burger or brisket or steaks that are always so well prepared. So compliments to the chef on all levels. Brian,
we don't want to have soldiers that come to an event and not have something prepared for them. We have to think of everybody and make sure that they all know that we care about all of them.
Amazing. Love it. Brian, you're the one who connected us. Maybe it was just through one of your kids' bar or bat mitzvahs or weddings or something, how I met and got to know. I actually can picture it was at the whoever's party you did at the Ramat Rachel Hotel. Is where
That was my son Matan's bar mitzvah. We invited we didn't make a tremendous affair there. We invited a select few of our closest friends and family. And I assume you met there. And then I brought everybody together, you, me, and Elliot, for the barbecue that was done at Nefesh B'Nefesh.
Correct, for the lone soldiers.
And Elliot and I go back 40 years, where he abused me as his camper in 1983 at Camp Hillel. And we cut back.
Is there a statute of limitations?
I don't know, but he's lucky if there is one. No, he didn't abuse me that way. It was more of a, he was a great counselor, a tough counselor. He taught me how to play basketball. It was a great experience. And before Elliot made Aliyah, we got back in touch somehow. And I started visiting him in New Jersey. And then he decided to make the move that I made with my family in 2008. And we've been close friends ever since. Our wives went to lunch yesterday. I know his children who are great, and he knows mine. So we go way back, and I think people should understand Elliot's family's been in the food business. And I literally asked Elliot, I said, can I come to you to have dinner, and I'll bring the food, because I know that I can't prepare it anywhere near as well as he can. So when you bring someone like Elliot into a situation like we were at on Sunday, a barbecue, it's gourmet quality food. I mean, we all ate it. I mean, we were literally eating it while we were serving it, because we hadn't eaten and we were starving. And it was, like being at a catered affair in terms of the quality of the food. And, I met Rolene and I met her husband, and we met some other people who I guess volunteer for grilling for the IDF, grilling for Israel. And we all quickly bonded. We were all there for the same reason. I think not being able to use the phones actually helped, because we didn't focus on our phones. We didn't focus on videos. We didn't focus on, how is this going to be posted on social media? Who are we going to share with? We just focused on getting the job done.
Now we're in the moment. Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like I was back in camp. Elliot was, telling me what to do. And, I was listening, and we all got everything done because we had, a good general directing the troops.
I want to pause in the conversation for just a moment to invite you to join us in one of the really incredible programs that we do as part of the Genesis 123 Foundation. This year, we have been going out all throughout the Judean Mountains to show love to soldiers who are stationed keeping us safe from the threat of terrorism. It doesn't matter if we're in a burning heat wave or temperatures below freezing before the wind chill, they are out there guarding strategic points that have a high risk of terrorism. And thanks to the support of many people like you, we are pleased to bring them homemade hot soup in the cold of winter and cold drinks and sweet watermelon in the heat of summer. Any donation is meaningful,
and helps us to bless the soldiers. You can join us and donate at genesis123.co/bless a soldier. That's genesis123.co/bless a soldier. And when you do, you also have the opportunity to send along your own personal words of thanks and blessings to the soldiers guarding the land and protecting the people. Please join us.
Jonathan, you pulled it all together, so that was great. I'm interested in hearing how Rolene's going to report everything as the journalist amongst us.
Yeah, well, actually, I started writing about it, and Rolene, you're the one who caught my eye to this. I can still picture it so vividly. It even makes my heart race. We turned to the left, and you pointed out that the pilots were walking, and they were wearing their flight suits, and they looked so swag in those suits. And it made me feel like I was in the middle of a Tom Cruise Top Gun movie. And I've already written that. I want to wait to publish it until I have the link for this to put into the conversation. But it was so remarkable. Rolene, you were those... There were many. We stood serving. You were doing the steaks and the burgers, if I'm not mistaken, and I was serving the brisket and the vegetables. And your husband was in between us, serving whatever was in. I don't even know what. This was fabulous to be on the Air Force Base to begin with, and I think Brian's right. Not being able to use our phones was a blessing. What were your thoughts? What were your observations?
First of all, to not use my phone, and my husband will tell you my head is normally buried in my phone. I felt like a new lease on life and didn't even notice that I didn't have it with me. But it also gave you an opportunity not just to respect the fact that we were in an environment that deals with intelligence and a very, very high level of military information, but also gave us the opportunity to really be present. The whole intention of the day was to thank these phenomenal soldiers, these pilots, for everything that they do, not just during Operation Rising Lion, but every single day to keep us safe. And I really drank in the environment. I mean, first of all, being in a hangar situation, with the helicopters all in a row, all kind of parked. I don't know if the term parked is what you use for helicopters. It did hit home for me when I saw a helicopter fly over the base towards Tel Aviv. And you know in your heart what that means when these rescue choppers go from Gaza to Tel Aviv area and then come back to base. You know what that means. And it was very, very sobering. But to watch these incredible soldiers, you know, with that swagger that only pilots could have, that only pilots in jumpsuits could have that swag. And what struck me is that without exception, every single one of them said thank you. Many of them asked where we came from, asked a little bit about our story. And the story wasn't about us. The story was about the opportunity to say thank you to them. And I have to say, when word got out about that brisket, I think it was a beeline several times for that brisket, which I think is the... that should win awards, Elliot.
Well, and Elliot has offered to share the recipe. So anyone who contacts us, yeah, anyone who contacts us with the message, however, whatever social media or email you want to use, just put the subject brisket, and we're going to share that. But also, before we started recording, Elliot, we're talking about, and I'd love to help you to do this, to commercialize and market that more. But then Brian, also, when we were speaking afterward and we did that video, you know, I stayed for a few minutes where we were sitting. We were not allowed to film, even not only in the base, we weren't even allowed to film in front of the base. You and I did a 4-minute video together, and then I sat clearing out my email, and literally out of the blue, this security vehicle came up and said, "What are you doing here?" because I was just sitting on the shoulder of the road and I had to move down as I was clearing out my email. Rolene, the other thing that we observed, it wasn't just that they all said thank you. They were all so modest.
And
I think Brian and Elliot, I'm curious for your input on this. And maybe I'm wrong. You've done so many of these, hundreds. Be interesting to know if this one was unique, specifically in any capacity. But there are units in the military here that are known to be especially well cared for because of the uniqueness of the unit. Certainly pilots in the Air Force, if not the whole Air Force. I had a neighbor who was serving as a mechanic in an Air Force, and he said the conditions were amazing, and other elite combat units also get everything. It struck me that for a unit that really can get everything, they really were so modest. Elliot, did you have any different sense of the feeling the other day?
So every barbecue is unique in its own way. It really depends on where you are and what's going on in the country at the time. But every barbecue has its own uniqueness. I will tell you that it's very common to find that the Chayalim, the soldiers, are always thanking us. And it's a little bit embarrassing. You know, I always say that they're putting their life on the line and we're putting a hamburger on the grill. Oh. It's not really a fair trade. And their response when I say that to them is, we have our job, you have your job, and what you're doing is very, very important to us. It makes our hearts, you know, full. It lets us know that there's people behind us who are supporting us. And the word that they use, that it's not move on, me'ilav. It's not an obvious thing for us to be doing this. They said that, you know, in the first couple of months of the war, there were a lot of people. There must have been 50 or 60 groups that were out there, you know, trying to get food and barbecues to soldiers. And, you know, 2 years later, 20 months later, there's maybe five or six groups that are still doing it. And I'm very proud of the volunteers and our donors and our supporters and everybody who comes out to help us, because it's as important today, if not more important today, than it was on October the 8th, 2023, because the fatigue factor has caught up to everybody. You know, everybody's a little bit tired of where we're at, and to be able to continue to raise the morale of a unit, whether they're Air Force, Navy, or, you know, ground troops, tanks, artillery. We go to the Tel HaShomer Sheba Medical Center every single Tuesday to make an event for the wounded soldiers. Wow. It's very important that they're not forgotten, that they're paying an ultimate sacrifice, you know, for defending our country and our nation. And so the answer is yes. Every event is unique. Every event is different. But there's a certain, call it a level of class maybe within the Air Force, that they're just a much more polished group of people. In the way that recruiting gets done, it's very, very hard to get into the Air Force. And I just think that you've got a different level of person who's wearing those jumpsuits, who are flying those machines, and who are the mechanics behind it. And therefore, you just get a different sense from them and chatting with them and speaking with them and everything else that you might get from a different type of a unit.
Yeah. One of the things I observed, and I'd love for any of you to comment on, is that to me, I'm not around the military as much as you are, but it seemed like such a diverse.
The restoration of Jewish sovereignty in the land of Israel was an earth-shattering event. For Christians, it was a confirmation that God always keeps his covenantal promises. Today, we are blessed to see God's fingerprints in the modern miracle of the land of Israel playing out in our lives among the people and in the state of Israel. This year, on the occasion of Israel's 75th anniversary, the Genesis 123 Foundation has been privileged to bring together 75 Christian leaders from around the world to lend their unique voices, sharing their personal faith experiences relating to Israel, and their in-depth insight into Israel's history and spiritual significance to create an historical, one-of-a-kind, high-end coffee table book, Israel the Miracle. Israel the Miracle's stunning imagery will fill your home with the hope of fulfilled promises and conversations about Israel. It's a perfect gift to anybody for any occasion,
and most of all, to yourself. You'll also be a blessing to Israel, knowing that the proceeds will go to bless Israelis of all backgrounds. Be a part of Israel the Miracle and bring the land, the people, and the state of Israel into your heart and into your home. Visit IsraelTheMiracle.com to get your limited edition copy today.
So, Raleen, where do you, you're a journalist. What journals do you publish? You lost how many jobs?
I write for JNS. I write for the South African Jewish Report. I'm a freelancer. So basically any newspaper that will have me, I'm happy to be there. And I also broadcast. I do a lot of TV and radio appearances.
Oh, really?
Jonathan lost power.
Yeah, he just informed me as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So are you, where are you going to be writing? You're going to be writing an article about your experience from Sunday?
He says, okay, so I see his thing now. I'm going to see what Jonathan writes. And then I wouldn't mind doing a specific profile on Elliot's company. I think
you're just doing that to get more brisket, I think, though. So be honest.
Well, you caught me. I mean, of course, that's that's absolutely my intentions.
Every time you say brisket on this podcast, I'm having a Pavlovian response. So you'll have to excuse me. I'm not kidding. I think I am.
I find out your brisket is a bit of a hit.
It's not just his brisket. I mean, I go to his house a lot for let him grill steaks that I pick up because I can't grill them as well. But anything he makes, Elliot, it's, you know, it's really second to none. You know, speaking of, you mentioned, Elliot, the hospital, which you were at Tel HaShomer on Tuesdays?
Yes, every Tuesday we're in Tel HaShomer.
So it's just in Hadassah Ein Kerem, right? I assume, I know they're bringing soldiers who are injured, and I was just there because my daughter had a baby, and, you know, you're going around the hospital to pick up food, get flat, whatever. You're walking around this hospital, and you're seeing these guys, you know, my kid's age, literally missing one limb, two limbs, and they seem okay. I mean, I'm sure they're not okay 100%, but I think it's probably more important than the air bases and the military bases. Just taking care of these kids who were really badly injured. I think that would be a great story as well, if you have time, Raleen.
Yeah, I mean, we get all the time, people are asking me, you know, who needs it the most? And is it the group of people who were in kibbutz near Oz, where they lost, you know, 25% of their population on one day, that the people who were working there and volunteering there and the soldiers who were there every day? Is it the guys who were defending, you know, Hebron and Kiryat Arba and Jenin and Tulkarem and those places? Is it the guys who are inside of Gaza? Is it the guys who are inside of Lebanon and Syria? I mean, I have to say that, you know, everybody needs it, but the wounded soldiers are in a different place. They need to know that they haven't been forgotten. They need to know that there are people who are still thinking about them. We need to help them keep their spirits up so they can continue to go forward in a very different life than what they were expecting.
But how do you, I'm sorry, go ahead, Raleen. I'm sorry for interrupting. Were you saying something, Raleen?
No, we're saying absolutely. I think, as Elliot said earlier on, they've paid the ultimate sacrifice. Many of them so young, losing one or two limbs. The incredible courage that it takes every day to, you know, to carry on. And it's important that they know that they are loved and treasured, appreciated and held by this whole country. You know, it's, feeding soldiers is not just about a morale booster, and it's like, it's nice and vibey to go out and feed them. Sometimes it's just to give those soldiers who need it the most a hug and just some love to brighten up a day spent in difficult rehab or in a hospital bed. So I think that is really, really special.
Elliot, how do you do it at the hospital? You bring is Jonathan back?
Do you hear me?
Yeah, I see you now. So we've been continuing the podcast, talking about, you know, an article maybe Rolene's gonna write about this, and Elliot and Teleshomer every Tuesday for the injured soldiers. I was about to ask Elliot how, if he does the barbecue there or he pre-prepares food and delivers it directly to the patients there, to the injured soldiers. How does it work at the hospital? You're on mute, Elliot.
There's a taxi stand just outside the gate of the hospital that has granted us the space that they have, an outdoor space. So the food is actually grilled right outside the gate of the hospital and then brought in for the hospital. There's two different groups of soldiers. They're the most severely wounded soldiers that don't leave their rooms or their own personal area, and they get served individually. And then everybody else who's been rehabbing, whether they've been rehabbing for a week, a month, or a year, they come up to the terrace, and on the terrace, we're feeding hundreds of soldiers.
Excellent. I see we lost Jonathan again. So I mean, I don't know if I should sign off for Genesis 123. I've been involved with Jonathan for many years now with Genesis 123. I think he's trying to log back in. I see his Genesis 123 insignia. I'm connected to the Christian community in Atlanta where I work, connected to some very religious Christians in Florida. I visit them often, and we talk. Jonathan, you're on mute, but are you still with us?
I'm back, and I just felt my power. I heard my power go back. I'm on mute?
Yeah, but I hear you, but it shows mute. Anyway, but I hear you. We all hear you.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm glad you picked up. I don't know why the power went out here, so thank you for continuing the conversation. But I guess the
floor is that.
I'm really glad that you mentioned.
Now I hear you.
No. Okay. As you mentioned, our Christian friends, you especially on the advisory.
Yeah, this is so what Genesis 123 does, because Jonathan, we keep losing Jonathan. Is Jonathan spends a lot of time with the Christian community. I'm actually, you know, I work in Atlanta, even though I live in Israel, I travel back and forth. And he's going to be doing some program like he does in many cities with religious Christian populations, a lot of them in the South. He's going to be coming to Atlanta towards the end of August, early September. And we're going to be doing something together with the Christian community. Jonathan, I'm just explaining a little bit about what you do because we keep losing you.
This year, you can join Christian leaders from around the world who are lining up to participate in Root and Branch, the newest hands-on, meaningful, and incredibly tangible way for Christians to make a personal connection to Israel, the Israeli people, and to be a blessing to the people and nation which is still suffering from the trauma of a horrific terrorist attack and war. Root and Branch offers unique comfort and a vision of peace, with tangible material benefits to Israelis who have suffered the trauma of war, specifically in and around the Gaza border area. Root and Branch is a unique agricultural pilgrimage. You will harvest wild olive trees in communities along the Gaza border that were devastated by the October 7, 2023 terrorist attack and massacre. In these communities and elsewhere, we will plant deep and lasting roots among Israelis of all backgrounds, making Root and Branch all the more innovative. Since the war began, more than $50 million in crops have been saved by volunteers. Root and Branch is the first such initiative to harvest olives. Proceeds from the olive oil that's being made will directly benefit these devastated communities, making Root and Branch a critical and significant project to bless Israel economically and spiritually in multiple ways. Root and Branch is a partnership between the Genesis 123 Foundation and NewPersia.org. For information, videos, and media about the experience, dates, pricing, and how you can register, please visit rootandbranchisrael.com.
I'll talk about the program in Atlanta, but I want to ask specifically because in order for me to be able to say yes to Elliot to provide the funding, I reached out all of our donors and some stepped more and offered a matching gift. So we were able to get the money together to pay for it all relatively quickly. And that was exciting. But I also said anyone who donated more.
Ellie, do you know what he was referring to?
He got cut off in the middle.
No, but he mentioned FMA was connected to grilling for the IDF, grilling for Israel. There it is. The booklet. Okay.
Anyone who donated $50 or more could send their own. We put a 24-page booklet together. You all saw those. In the event that I get cut out, I would love to just get your input on how that was all received.
I think it was received very, very well. I saw you talking to them. I think everything was received very well. I think they really appreciated it. Like Raleen said, there was a humility there that I guess we all didn't expect. These are very skilled, very bright, very fit young men and women. There were numerous women there as well as pilots, not just male pilots. So I think they really appreciated it. They did. Like Raleen said, every single one thanked us. They interacted with us. My Hebrew's not so great, but we were interacting in Hebrew, and they were surprised that all of us lived in Israel. And they thought we were just tourists because, we dress like Americans or Westerners. We don't look Israeli as much. Ashkenazi, most of them, at least Sephardi. So they were just surprised that we were actually living in Israel with them.
Elliot, when I originally asked you if we could do that, hand out notes, you said, yeah, would it be helpful? Would it be good? You were actually very enthusiastic about it. And so I printed it as a booklet. So it could be something that they could see and not just throw away, but keep and continue to get encouragement for. What was your sense of how that went over?
Well, so over the course of 5 years of doing events, we've gotten many letters from school children, from communities and things like that. We had done an event up in Tzfat, which at one time was the headquarters of the Northern Army. And I walked into the command center, which was a huge tent. It had to have been at least, 50 meters long on one wall. And the entire wall was covered with letters from all over the world thanking the soldiers. So I know how one note, one single note, one word of encouragement, one word from somebody who they've never met, thanking them for protecting, not only the country, the nation, but in my opinion, the free world from terrorists. It really does help them. They feel, a certain amount of gratification. And, oftentimes it's a thankless job, certainly serving where you're leaving your family and your kids and your job, and you're going into conditions where you don't have your kitchen and you don't have your bedroom, and you're just, doing things and making real sacrifices. And to have letters and notes from people saying thank you is very meaningful to them.
Yeah, yeah. Raleen, you were nodding in active agreement with what Elliot just said. How did you observe that played out?
I just think any opportunity that we have to say thank you means the world. I think the people around the world forget who our soldiers are. They are not a career remote army that goes off to fight wars far away from our borders. They are our husbands and sons and fathers and colleagues and friends. They're part of our family and the family of the extended Jewish people around the world. An army who are impeccable. One of the observations my husband said to me, watching the soldiers playing soccer with Brian, I think it was your son.
No, it was Steven's son. My son was the guy with the beard.
Playing soccer with him. And one of the observations we see was like, yeah, here's our terrible genocidal terrorist army. And my husband said, people who say that have never met one of our soldiers. And you certainly see the ethos, the ethics of our warriors when you meet them in person when you get the privilege of engaging with them. And as Elliot said, they're not just fighting for us. They're fighting for the free world. And any opportunity anyone around the world has to say thank you to a soldier, please take that opportunity. It does mean the world to them. I don't know if you've been to Shuva Junction in the south, which is very close to the massacre sites from the 7th of October. Underneath the glass on the tables are letters from children from South Africa that the chief rabbi brought. And Shuva Junction is an incredible place. It's where soldiers can stop and pick up whatever they want en route to and from Gaza. And there's a reason those letters are put there. It does something phenomenal in a world where they are under constant attack, whether kinetic or through lawfare or through propaganda, to know just how much they are appreciated by us here, the Jewish people around the world, and all of our allies, especially in the Christian world, who understand what Israel is fighting for.
Right. So I want to invite anybody, in addition to asking for Elliot's recipe, anyone who would like to see the PDF of these beautiful blessings that we sent. The only thing I felt bad about is it all came together so quickly, and the printing needed to be done by Thursday afternoon. So there were a lot of people who just didn't get the time to write their few sentences. But Aureline, what great encouragement between what you're saying, what Elliot's doing, and in other ways you've done this. And I want to invite people to continue to do it. Elliot, I think you were about to say something when Aureline...
Yeah, I was going to say, the word that I use is that our soldiers are not mercenaries that we're hiring from some foreign land to come and fight our wars. They're our citizens. They're the guy standing next to you in the supermarket. They're the guy, you know, in front of you and behind you at the pharmacy. They're just regular people who are able to set aside everything and put on a uniform and go do a very, very difficult job under tough circumstances. We're the only army in the entire world to drop leaflets to tell people when and where we're going to drop a bomb, because we really do not want to cause any collateral damage when we don't have to. And when you're dealing with terrorists who don't fight fair, it makes it that much more difficult than the mental strain and the physical, you know, strain on these citizens, on these normal people who are going out and doing it. It's a wonderful thing to see that, you know, how a letter, how a steak, a brisket, a burger, how all of these things can just, you know, change, help them, you know, help them to continue to have the energy that they need to continue. So it's I really appreciate you stepping up and everybody coming in, and all of the volunteers that we have, and all of the donors and sponsors that we have that allow us to continue to do what we do.
Thank God willing. And anyone following this, when you're coming to Israel, please be in touch, and we will set you up and your church or synagogue or whatever to be able to join Elliot and his remarkable team of volunteers anywhere in the country. Let's just do one. I want, Brian, you mentioned, and thank you for mentioning it, the program we're doing in Atlanta. I'll talk about that in just a moment, but before I do my closeout, but any last round, I got cut off for some reason, so I didn't hear all of what you were saying, but one last thing in talking about the meaningful nature of grilling for Israel, our specific experience at the Air Force Base this week, or other words of encouragement to those who are participating long distance. Elliot, you want to start with anything else that we missed?
I will say that it's very important, certainly in life in general, certainly in Jewish life, is to say thank you, to say thank you to God, to say thank you to people who are doing things for you. And I think that part of what we do is an ultimate thank you to the people who are putting their lives on the line for us. And if people want to stand with us to thank the people that are risking everything and going out there to protect us, we're a good place that you can come and not just say thank you, but experience it. I always say when I travel to go out and raise money, I can't transfer the feeling of being with the soldiers at an event. It's something that when you experience it, you just immediately realize it's different, because it is different. It's a feeling is a very hard thing to explain with words, but the knowing that you're moving the needle for these guys in a positive way is just something that I've been very lucky, and I've been
privileged
to be able to be involved with what we're doing.
Yeah, and you do it great. Thank you. Thank you for giving us the opportunity. Brian, last observations on all of this?
So as we mentioned outside the airbase, when we had to get about a kilometer away, we were talking about how, we can tell they appreciated it. I mean, many of them, I think all of them came back for seconds. I saw some people come back for thirds. There were some, you know, soldiers.
Besides you?
What?
Besides you?
I had the thirds. Ellie, you don't even want to know how much I ate there. I got off my diet for about an hour, and it's probably showing in my face. But with, like, one of the guys there, you know, he didn't even know what brisket was, because it's not something people eat in Israel. They eat kebabs. You know, they know what a hamburger and a frankfurter are. And I kept describing it to these people who had no idea. I didn't even know how to translate brisket. I said in Hebrew, I said, it's olam haba. It's heaven. I said, have a taste of heaven. And one of them was, I said, you're not Ashkenazi, but this is, what we eat, and it's from heaven. And he said, no, I'm Farsi, I'm Persian, a Persian Jewish guy. And he had no clue. But many of them tried it, and they came back for seconds and thirds, and it was really something special. I took some home, Elliot, just letting you know I stole some, because I'm allowed to, I think. But we left tons of food there afterwards. They probably could have had a whole nother barbecue dinner.
I'm glad you mentioned that, Brian, because there was a lot of leftovers, and it stayed and was distributed to other people on base. So
I saw them preparing it, saw them packaging it, taking it to people who couldn't get out for the barbecue, because they were probably actively involved in whatever they were doing.
Great, thank you, Rolene. You get the you with those fabulous perspectives that you bring in. I want you to. Not using a baseball analogy, knock it out of the park with your closing remarks.
One of my final observations was that I noticed several special needs soldiers or volunteers on base. And, we talk about the IDF being an army of the people for the people. And it was very, very much evident on the day. I think that it has been the greatest privilege and honor to be able to give our phenomenal soldiers not just delicious food, not the opportunity to take time out of their very, very intense day to eat a really, really great meal, but you cannot put a price on the opportunity to express gratitude. I think it's one of the tenets that we have, as Elliot said, as Jewish people, as the Israeli people. I think that the gift that it gave our souls has been even greater than we could imagine. And I just want to thank you. I want to thank all of the donors that made it possible. I want to thank the soldiers of all divisions in the IDF, land, sea, air, tunnels, airwaves, Iron Dome. Thank you, guys. If it means the ability to make a meat tower on your plate, the privilege is all ours.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you, Rolene. Before I do my wrap-up, I just want to tie in what Brian mentioned before, and actually this idea of connecting. Last year, for those who've been following, we started a program called Root and Branch
to bring Christians to harvest olives here in Israel. We last year harvested about 1,000 kilos, and from which we made a pristine oil, and we're going to be selling the oil in different ways to raise money for projects that go back to benefit people who have been impacted by the war. And so we also bring people to make personal connections. And one of the things that we did last November was prepare a barbecue, not you, with Elliot, but that will be a mistake for which we repent for and will fix this coming October, with a group of soldiers who had just come out of Gaza. And my friend and partner on Root and Branch, Marzi Amirizadeh, was born in Iran, became a Christian in Iran, and arrested and sentenced to death because she became a Christian in Iran. And all of this idea to bring Christians to harvest olives was her idea. And standing up in front of a group of soldiers who had just come out of Gaza, she apologized to them that their lives had been so impacted in all of our lives by the people who hijacked her country in 1979. And one of the thank yous that was in the booklet that we prepared was from her, and I think went over really well. So we are producing a conference in Atlanta September 5th and 6th this year, 2025, and there will be more in other cities and other places coming, but we're calling it the Root and Branch Unity Conference, and I invite people to involve themselves. Just before I do my quick outgoing remarks, Elliot and Brian Rolin, what a privilege to literally serve with you, to be there with you, to have you here to help express that. Thank you for stepping in when I got knocked off the internet for some reason, and we'll look forward to doing this again.
Thank you.
Brian, I know you have to go. But as we have always done, as we wrap up our podcast, we want to invite you another way to connect. It's a project. All we ask for your help is that you like, follow, comment, or share the link to this program. And once a month, we pick somebody at random to receive a free book. We call it From Jonathan's Bookshelf. And for now, nearly 2 years, the book that we're giving out is our stunning book that we published called Israel the Miracle, a compilation of 75 essays by Christian leaders from all over the world writing why Israel is so significant to them. It's a $75 value. And in order to get your free copy, all we ask that you do is like, copy, comment on, or share the link to this program. We're always grateful that this podcast is sponsored by our friends at the Willow Run Greenhouse in Culpeper, Virginia. And I always tell people, if you're ever in the area, I don't know whoever goes to Culpeper, Virginia, pop in and thank them for helping make conversations like this possible. And also special thanks to the Coyne family as well for their meaningful sponsorship. Inspiration from Zion and all the Genesis 123 Foundation programs are made possible by donations. So please consider joining us to help continue the dialogue and building bridges. This week, I have the real true privilege of dedicating this episode, Brian, in honor of your new granddaughter, who's so new, we don't even have a name yet, but she's gorgeous. We've seen the pictures. By the time this comes out, she will have a name and a full member of the Jewish people. And we're so excited as friends, as a people, and you and I, related to see our family continue to grow here in Israel. She should grow up and give you lots of pride and happiness. If you'd like to sponsor a future episode in honor and memory of a loved one or special occasion or the birth of a new grandchild, please be in touch with us at inspirationfromzion@gmail.com. We always love to hear your comments as part of a dialogue and invite you to send any questions as well, especially questions about traditional Judaism, for our Ask the Rabbi programs. Please share this with others who will also find it of interest and continue to join us right here for more meaningful conversations about unique topics relating to Israel that you won't hear anywhere else. Wherever you are in the world, I pray that you and your loved ones are all safe and healthy, and I send my blessings from right here in the Judean Mountains. God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, everybody. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye, guys. Oh, my show, Lord, yeah.